seated.
Go ahead and have a seat if you are not already. All right, it's going to be an interesting night. We had a busy day today. We had a funeral we went to. And if you didn't catch three, if you want to turn there, chapter, verse number 7, we're going to look at the Church of Philadelphia. As we look at these churches, these are the hope of this world today. Well, not these specific ones, but the churches. God took the time to write to 7 churches a letter. He took the time to, at points, sometimes, to correct them, to admonish them, to encourage them. In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7, is one of the churches, but all of the churches are important to God. Not one of them was God wanting to eliminate. He may have some harsh words toward them, but in every case, he's trying to get them to go the right way. I would like to encourage us to take and consider all these churches as we look at the passages and consider how our churches. We're coming up on the last church, and next week we'll begin in the Church of Laodicea. But I believe we should review and make sure that our church is doing all that we can to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish. I'm so glad that God did not make cookie-cutter churches. Amen? You know what works in Lancaster or in San Francisco is not going to work in the mountains. And we're different kind of people. What works in the mountains is not necessarily going to work in Lancaster. We have to be sensitive and know that God is going to be the one that has to guide and direct the churches. And tonight, as we look at this, we're going to look at the things that are going to make the church strong enough to withstand trials and problems. And Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7, it says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the keys of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Pause there for a second. One commentator criticized the church a little bit and said that God maybe was pointing out that the church had little strength. But as I recall, God wants us to know that little is much. And God's, when we are weak, then he is strong. And I don't believe that this church with a little strength is a negative. I think it's a positive that has kept them going the right direction. If you think about it, in Ephesians, you saw the church with a lot of strength. Boy, they had a lot of programs, didn't they? A lot of good things, yet they had left their first love. So I don't find this as a negative. I just want to get that out before I forgot. That this church with little strength, he has kept the word and has not denied my name. "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." Again, I think this is a little bit of a vision, possibly talking in that little spot right there about the fact that he would not have the church go through the tribulation, but he'll spare them at that time when the church is going, when the world is going to go through some great trials, just in a few short verses from here. He says, "I'll spare you from that." He says, "Behold, I will come quickly. Hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God." I want you to circle verse 12. We're going to come back to that in a few minutes and look at a picture. And I don't know if it's a representation, just made me think of it, but I want to be mindful to remember that, so help me out with that. "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's pray tonight one more time and ask God to help us to understand how to preserve and protect our church. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Again, each of these churches is a representation of an actual church having actual trials, afflictions, victories, and failures.
In this case, we see a church that is being encouraged to hold on to the little bit that they have, the little strength, the strength that they have to serve the Lord, so that, God, you can continue to work in their life. And Lord, I pray that though we may be not the biggest church in all of America, certainly there are grander facilities and much bigger in attendance, of course, but whatever strength we have, may it be used for you. May we not look at the size of a church or even a church service, 1 or 500, does not matter to you, does it, Lord? Lord, help us understand the importance of being what we're supposed to be, regardless of who, what others would think of us. Lord, bless us now, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. And we get into this. If you didn't get one of these, I don't know, did we pass these out? I don't think so. Does anybody want one of these slides, or these little handouts real quick? You have one? Nancy, do you want? Melinda, would you be so kind? Don't make Nancy get up. I know you're young and spry. I'm going to share my screen. No, Nancy, you stay. We'll get you squared away. I like to have these if you like to take notes or if you just can't see the screen. If you're watching on Facebook, maybe Sean's going to be watching. He gets the whole TV, 72 inches of massiveness right there. Amen. That's way too much. Let me get my face off that, right? Let me make sure I'm doing this right. I don't think I am. All right, so let me share this screen here. All right. And so, all right, here we are here. We're in the Church of Philippi, and this is more of a Bible study, but I might preach just a little. I don't know. Just feels like it. But we look at the church again. Let's look at a few slides that are the same as last week. We have the location of Philippi here, and we see it's south of Sardis and Thyatira, east of Ephesus there, right, kind of an inland port. We learned a little bit about the details last week. We won't go into that. We do have some pictures, and the only reason I wanted to point this out is we have some pictures of some of the edifices. Now, I honestly don't, as I said last week, I don't really know exactly what. I think these were part of a wall that went around it, the best I can tell. They call this John's church or something of that nature there in Turkey. But notice the pictures. There's two. There's one that just shows these grand pillars. And I just think it's interesting that out of all the things that stayed in the church, a lot of things, these massive support columns. And it reminded me of the passage. It says, I will make thee a pillar. People are going to be able to see these. People are going to be able to be building their lives on what you've done in the past. And it's interesting. I just thought I'd point that out. That's why I had you circle verse number 12. Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. And certainly these are just representations of something that happened years and years ago. But maybe it could make us think about our walk with the Lord. Are we strong pillars for God? And just a nice way to look at it there. But when we look at the church tonight, we're gonna see that the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love, if you want to remember what that means, this church was going through some trials. It has no sin recorded in it. God does not point out any failures or things of that nature. Certainly we can see in other churches that they are struggling in this area, just the church before it in Thyatira, or in Sardis rather. It says, be watchful, verse number 2, and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. So there are churches, obviously, that aren't doing the work. But this church in Church of Philadelphia, we don't see any negativity of their actions. We don't see anything. I don't believe because the Bible says they have little strength that they are doing things wrong. It may be that they aren't the biggest church. It may be that God looks at that little strength and can do mighty things. If you have the faith of a mustard seed, the Bible says, what can you do with that? Well, I believe you can move a mountain with it. So it doesn't take a lot of strength to get a lot of stuff done with the Lord behind you. Amen? So I don't see any negativities here in any way. But we do see that God is trying to encourage the church. And that's something noteworthy. That just because the church isn't doing anything wrong doesn't mean this church doesn't have some problems, some struggles. I don't know about you, but you ever been as a Christian where you're serving the Lord and you're trying to maybe you teach a class or you're starting to tithe or you're tithing faithfully. You're at every service and all of a sudden it seems like no matter what happens, there's a trial. right? You ever been there? Your washer breaks down, your car doesn't start, your water pump blows out, whatever it may be. And oftentimes, we can look to God and say, Lord, what is the world is happening? Think of the Trujillo family in this last year. 15 months ago, Andrew's wife lost her life. And then here recently, Andrew himself passed away. And I have to think, I look at my dear friends, Ken and Vicky Trujillo, and I see their family, and I know they have to be wondering, and I heard them say it actually, what am I doing wrong? Is there something I'm doing? Is there something, I don't think that's the case at all. But sometimes we just need to be encouraged in the Lord. This church has no sin. This church has no problems that are being listed by the Word of God. I'm sure they're filled with sinful people and they have their normal run-of-the-mill problems of everyday life, but they're not harboring sin. They're not loving the wrong things. They're loving Jesus Christ. They're serving the Lord as faithful as they can. And they're doing the work of the Lord. Praise God for it. Yet we see that they do have some struggles, and God encourages them in the Lord. And so how can we in our church learn from this church? I have three thoughts. Number one, I want you to see the infiltration of the church. In our church and in any church across America, we need to be careful to understand that there is an effort to infiltrate the church and to get into the church to corrupt it. This is none other than the devil. We know in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. All right, that's a pretty clear illustration of somebody trying to destroy the works of God. Now, that particular verse is admonishing believers in Christ, and so we can apply that to the church simply for this very reason, that you are the church, amen? Every single one of you. You are the ones that God will build. You are the pillars, if you will, of the church. And if God, the devil can get in and corrupt or infiltrate into one of us and get us weakened, he gains a great victory. We must guard our church. We must protect our church, because it is vital that we see that there is an infiltration. Look, I remember in the 1980s, in the 70s, we had several different administrations. I was young. I really didn't understand politics when I was 10. It didn't really matter to me. But as I went into the 80s and Ronald Reagan was there at that time, we know that there was some, he identified the enemy. He identified and called, I remember the day that he called the Soviet Union that evil nation. It's not a quote, but he called them the evil nation, the evil regime, whatever it was. Oh, everybody had a fit with that one. How could you call them evil? But he called it what it was. He says, we got to be on the defense. We got to be prepared. And whether you like Ronald Reagan or not, he's the one that put an end to the Cold War. And many things. I recently went and saw the Reagan Library and some of the things that we're able to see there and the legacy that he left. And I'm thankful for a president saw an enemy. You know, when the Twin Towers fell. You know why they fell? Because we didn't see the enemy. You know that same two towers, that same towers were attacked a few years before. Bombers underneath in the parking structure underneath attacked the same towers. Same group, by the way, attacked it. We didn't think it was an enemy. We just thought it was a couple of far out terrorist organizations, not an enemy that could do harm to America. And it was very clear that we were not looking at the enemy. In our churches, we must see the infiltration and know there's a problem. This thought here is in this, the church is always under attack. We must be on the guard to protect it. And that is the job of not just the pastor, who is the shepherd of the flock, the under-shepherd, but it is the job of every one of the sheep in the fold, if you want to call it that, to stay within the flock and to protect the flock at all costs. The church is always under attack. A few verses that we could look to for this. They're a little bit small on the screen. Maybe take the time to look at them in your paper there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall turn unto fables. You know, there's going to be a time. Could it be that we're already in the time when people are not going to listen to the truth? They're going to be infiltrated by lies and deceits. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. That try means put it to the test. Try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We need to understand in our church, we need to protect it and put ourselves on guard. It doesn't mean that when a visitor comes in, we look at him suspiciously, by the way. That's not what I'm talking about. But when we consider the Word of God, when somebody starts preaching something that doesn't sound quite right, we better run to the Word of God and we better compare every word to Scripture to make sure it's right. We need to see, number one, or letter A, infiltrators. And that's what we see here in the passage in Revelation chapter 3. It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan. Whoa, that's a big word right there. Let's back up for a second. Synagogue of Satan. What is a synagogue? Funny you should ask. I happen to have the definition right on the screen there. A synagogue is an assemblage of persons, specifically of a Jewish synagogue, but this is not the Jewish synagogue, obviously. The meeting or the place, by analogy, a Christian church, assembly, congregation, the synagogue. It is a gathering. It's the gathering similar to a church. Did you know that there's a synagogue, a gathering of Satan? Now, this is not in context talking about some satanic cult that is out there that we would never even know where they meet. This is talking about within the church. There was a group that was trying to corrupt it. A group that God says is the group of Satan, the meeting of Satan within the church itself. We must be on the guard for infiltrators that try to come in and corrupt the church with doctrines and false truths not found in the Word of God. We see that all the time in extra-biblical books that are out there, whether it be from other religions and such, and how they try to add to the Word of God and try to add to their philosophies to what the Bible says. Be careful of that. Notice that there are infiltrators, and we must be on guard with that. We must understand, letter B, that they are within the church. I have two of the same slide there. Please skip over that one. They're not just only infiltrators, but they're within. You know, the enemy is much more dangerous when it's inside the church. I don't mind. You know, the enemy outside the church, that's going to happen all the time, isn't it? We look out, we watch CNN, there's probably the enemy right there. Amen? NBC's no MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, they're no friend to the church. But that doesn't surprise me. That's the world system. It doesn't surprise me if there's a false religion out there that yells at us and says that we're narrow-minded. It doesn't disturb me at all. It doesn't disturb me when the LGBTQ people complain about Christians and the fact that we only believe in Jesus Christ and we only believe that He's the only way to heaven. It doesn't bother me at all. Why? Because that I expect that from them. Because they're outside the church. They don't understand us. Look, if they come into the church and they hear the Word of God and the Word of God touches their heart, they can be saved just like anybody can be saved. Amen? There's nothing wrong, intrinsically wrong, with any one of them. Anybody, a producer from CBS or a person from the LGBTQ could come and hear the Word of God and could be gloriously saved. Amen? Because they're the enemy without and they can come in. But when you have the enemy within the church, that's a much more scary situation. These are the wolves in sheep clothing. These are those that are into the church and try to create problems using phrases and thus saying, thus saith the Lord. These are those that espouse, as we see in this passage, verse number 9, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews. These Jewish Christians, these Jewish believers, these Jewish individuals that have come into the church and say they are Jewish Christians, and they're not. They're bringing false doctrines. Whether they be Judaizers, as we know some were, attaching work, salvation, attaching the Jewish traditions to it or not, I don't know. But we know that they were saying one thing and teaching the wrong thing. And they were just lying. The Bible tells them and calls them for what they are and says, and they are not, and are not, but do lie. These people are liars. Thus the reason why that they are from the synagogue of Satan, who is what? The father of lies. God himself is pointing out that Satan and his minions are the liars. And when they get into church and they do lie, we should have no part in it. We should entertain them, not one little bit. We must protect our church. The Word of God is the template. Look, you don't have to believe anything I say. If I come up here and I say the sky is green, you could say, no way, Pastor, I know it's not green. But if I come here and say, thus saith the Lord says, and we could find it from the Scriptures, then, my friend, that is the truth. This book is the truth, and this is the litmus test that everything is compared to in our church. Every message, I challenge you, make sure you bring your Bible. For those on Facebook, make sure you have a Bible and you're looking at it and you're looking up those verses. I print them on the screen. We put them in as much as we can. We want you to know when you come here that this is what God says. And if God doesn't say it, if I say my opinion, throw it away if you want to. Amen. If you don't want to believe that the sky is green, you're fine. Believe it's blue. You could be wrong. Amen. That's about right, too. You know I'm wrong, right? Truth of the matter is, we must see the infiltrators. We must see that they're within. Letter C, we must understand false doctrines and lies are what they teach. It's what they hold on to. It's the thing that they present. And let me say this. Lies always have a grain of truth. A good lie will always have a grain of truth to it. Something to grab a hold of. Something to make you think, oh, maybe that's true. Maybe it is green. How do I know it's not? I mean, what if I'm the only one that sees it blue? You know, how would you know? You see, false doctrine always presents a false lie, but we can look to the Word of God, and it warns us of this. Jude 1:4 says, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God unto lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. These are people that are going to corrupt and sneak in and corrupt the truth of the Word of God. And so we must be careful watching for false doctrines, for lies. This is why I encourage you to know your Bible, to get into Sunday school, to get into the second hour service. Avoid the church services. Try to make sure you're at every one of them that you can. Why? So you know the truth of the Word of God. You say, well, Pastor, I can learn it at home. Yes, you can. I encourage you to read your Bible at home. I encourage you to make studies. You could go to Bible college too, but never forsake the church itself. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. The Bible says even more so as the day approaches. Why? Because there are going to be teachers come in those latter days. Do you remember the verse that we just looked at? I don't know if, brother, you can scroll back up, but if you could just scroll back up to the, and I'll do the same here if I can, to the verse in 2 Timothy 4, verse 3 and 4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But what? Well, after their own lust, they shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall be turned away for ears from the truth. Shall be turned unto fables. That's in the latter times. I don't know what time that is, but it says the time will come. Are we there right now? Probably. Will it get worse in the future? Probably. Amen. But every day and every moment that we stay and breathe on this planet is a day closer to the time when Jesus Christ is going to come back. And at some point, we know that this day will come. It's promised. It was there, by the way, when Timothy was pastoring. And it's now here still to this day. So be careful of it. Understand, be on guard to those false doctrines. Let's go to Roman number 2, slide 14, if you're there, Brother Walker. We see the infiltration, but we also need to understand how to protect with the right tools. All right, so we have a church, and we're trying to take the little strength we have, the little bit of effort that we have, and we're trying to use it for God, but we know that there's a bad element. We know there's somebody trying to infiltrate the church. We know that there's trying to false doctrines. What do we do to protect our church? Well, the Word of God gives us some clear understanding of that. Number one, letter A, we understand we need to keep the Word of God. The Bible says in verse number 9, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and to worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast," what? "Kept the word of my patience. I also will keep them from the hour of temptation." Notice that we're supposed to keep the word of God. Look at verse 8. "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast little strength." And what? "And has kept my word and has not denied my name." So we must understand the first thing we need to do in order to protect our church from the false truths is we need to keep the word of God. This means we should not change no matter what. Somebody say amen. Thank you. Don't change. You know, society is changing. We don't know. Society has told us that we're wrong about marriage. You don't hear much about that now. That's old stuff. We've already figured that out. That's 5 years ago stuff, 7 years ago stuff. We don't worry about it now. Now it's commonplace in our society to have two men married together. It's commonplace for two women to be married together. If you wanted to be married right now, you could go to the county courthouse in any county in California, and you could get a marriage license and marry that man, if you're a man, or that woman, if you're a woman, and it's fine. Because society has said that's okay. But that doesn't change the church. The church still knows that God made Adam and Eve. He made man and woman distinctively different. And when God brought Eve to man, it was to be the completion of that creation. Man could not dwell by himself. He was not sufficient by himself. So he created Eve, and the beautiful picture of him bringing Eve to Adam and bringing him and joining him in one flesh. I would challenge you to understand that that is an important part of our doctrine. And it cannot change. I'm not against man and I'm not against women. But I'm against men and women marrying the same gender. Why? Because the Word of God says it. The truth of the matter is, on homosexuality, we could go to the same thing. We could also keep the same on any other sinful behavior that you would like. I classify it all the same. And we need to understand, we need to hold to the Word of God. My Bible says that we're to abstain from worldly lust, whatever it is. That could be going out and gambling. That could be going out and drinking. And we should be just living in the flesh. We should put on the armor of God each and every day and keep the Word of God as our benchmark. Look, keep it means to hold on, retain it, to put it in protective guard and make sure that we have it for the time we need it. And so do we have the Word? I challenge you this next year, 2022 is upon us. We're day 5. Let's get into memorizing the Word. Let's get into studying the Word. Let's get into being faithful to the church services and growing and developing. Look, it's too long. If you're on Facebook and you're watching this, folks, you've been gone a far too long from church. It's time to get off the Facebook and come in person. Amen. I love the streaming. I love the technology. But that's not a replacement. It's an extra. If you happen to be sick, great. You got a resource you can go to. And there's good resources out there. This one and other churches as well. But that doesn't replace the assembling of ourselves together and keeping the Word of God and learning it. So letter A, keep the Word of God. Letter B, we learn also hold fast to God and His promises. We see that in the passage. Verse number 8 says, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it, for thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name." Verse number 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Hold fast to what you got. Look, it doesn't matter what you have. You hold on to it. Say, "Pastor, I don't know that much Bible." Well, hold on to what you got. Amen? Get a little bit more tomorrow. Pastor, I don't have that much faithfulness. I just come Sunday morning. Well, then be faithful to Sunday morning and hold fast to it and grow it a little bit more as the year goes on. But don't go backwards. Hold fast to the God. Hold fast to the promise. Oh, I don't have that much faith in God, but I have a little. Well, hold fast to the faith you already have and then grow and develop it. Don't let it slip. This church, by its definition, had little strength. Amen? That's all it says. It has a little strength. It did not say, by the way, it had a little faith. It just had little strength. And God says, with whatever strength you have as a church, hold on to that strength and don't let it go. You keep it going. Look, it's going to be my desire that every ministry that we're doing this year is going to be a ministry we continue on for this next year currently. And to do better than before. I'm excited about new kids programs opportunities we're going to have in this coming spring. I'm excited about a lot of things. They say, well, Pastor, what are you going to do with COVID? I don't know, but I'm going to hold fast to what I got. Amen? And then grow on from there. Let's hold fast to God. May I say, maybe it's not physically. Maybe it's just spiritually. You ever get down or you ever get tired? You ever feel worn? You ever have somebody that keeps beating you down, it seems like, and criticizing you and tearing you apart, spiritually speaking? You got to hold fast to God in those days. Stop listening to the naysayers. Stop listening to the people that are criticizing. Stop listening to those that tell you you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And hold fast to what you know God has for you to do. This last year has been a difficult year for my family. We've had some criticisms within the family. But I'm going to hold fast to what God's given me. And hold on to it with all my heart. And let God, and continue to be faithful to God no matter what. Because it's so important to hold fast. But not just hold fast to God, but hold fast to His promises. Oh, so many promises in here. The promise of a crown of life. Right? The crown. A promise of a crown that for those that hold fast, hold on to that promise. The Lord is going to reward you. I don't know what rewards we're going to have in heaven. I don't think any way in our possible mind we could understand what kind of rewards. We talk about the crown of life and the different jewels in our crowns. We're going to cast our crown before the feet of Jesus. Praise the Lord, we're going to be able to have these things. But we don't have a clue what that really means until we get there. But we hold to the promise. The promise of God giving me something if I'm faithful to Him. The promise that He'll never leave me nor forsake me if I'm just faithful to Him on this earth. The promise that He'll guide me and be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path if I just keep my eyes focused on Him. These are promises we need to hold on to. You see, how to protect the church? We need to keep the Word of God and we need to hold on to it with all our heart. And keep those promises close and dear to us. The Bible teaches us in 1 John 4, verse 1, Beloved, believe not every spirit. I don't know why I have that there. It's a good verse. Oh, yeah. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Revisiting that verse, just understand this, that God wants us to make sure we hold fast to what God has given us. Don't believe everything. Just believe the Word of God. Let's go to number 3 and we'll be done for this evening. We saw first to see the infiltration. This church definitely was being infiltrated. We saw the protection with the right tools. They were to hold fast and they were to keep that promises and hold on to God. Number 3, and I like this thought, gain the encouragement from the Lord. Sometimes we need to look at it and gain encouragement from God. And see that God is going to bless us. God doesn't just tell them to hold fast. Although in verse 10 he does, he says, Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation shall come upon all the world, try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man may take thy crown. Verse number 12, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. You know, there's some words of encouragement there. What are those words? Without going into great detail, he will elevate you in his time. You ever think that if you're just faithful long enough, God will give you the victory? See, but Pastor, I've been praying a long time for this physical problem to go away, and it's still not gone. No, but He can give you victory over it nonetheless. Pastor, I've been having problems with this problem for a year, 2 years now, and it doesn't seem like it ever is going to wait. Well, don't quit. Just keep knowing that God will elevate you in His time. He says, look, you just be faithful. You keep going. You be that pillar. I keep thinking of those pictures of those huge monstrosity things that are left after 2,000 years or more. And they're still there, these big pillars. And that's what God wants to do in your life. Just you gotta, He'll elevate you. He'll lift you up. I remember years ago, I used to work for Breeze Air Conditioning down in Palm Springs. I used to go to church, go to work there. I remember many times people would come in, they would mock me for being a Christian. They weren't believers there. They were construction people. Have you ever been around construction people? Some of them had the foulest mouth. Put a sailor to shame. They'd listen to the wrong music. They'd tell the jokes just at the time I'd come in to the office or the break room, the bad ones, the raunchy ones. They would all these things. But you know what? After a while, after I was there for 5-6 years, those same people that criticized me and mocked me and made fun of me for bringing my Bible and stuff like that, those same people came to me when their marriage was falling apart and they needed help. And I was able to minister to them. And I was able to lead them to Christ. What a blessing. To be able, now I could have got angry at him. I could have criticized him. I could have filed a class action lawsuit against him. I'm sure I could have won. But then I think of that gentleman by the name of Jose. I would have never had a chance to lead him to Christ. Never been able to witness to Amado. Some of these other people that were a part of my life. The truth of the matter is, He will elevate you. If not on this earthly plane, I promise you on the next. You don't need to worry about it here. So what if CNN and ABC and CBS don't elevate us the way we know we should be? So what if the world today is not like the days of back in the 50s or the 40s or 30s? If it was really like that at all, where it seemed like Christianity was prevalent and everybody knew that Christianity was right. Now it seems all backwards. And so what if they don't do it? Look, God will elevate us if we're just faithful. Gain the encouragement knowing that God will elevate you in His time. Letter B, as we close with this thought, we see that He will make you a pillar, number one. And number two, He'll make you have an intimate relationship with Him. When we think of elevating, and we think of encouragement, we look at this latter verse, verse number 12, Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of God. That's the elevation. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him. Here's the close relationship. I will write upon him the name of my God. How sweet is that? And the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. Wow. I don't know what that name exactly is. Commentators have different opinions on that new name. But I do know this, it's a name He's only going to give to believers that hold fast and are faithful and are steady and are saved. How sweet a relationship, how close a relationship it is when you have the promise from God of intimacy and being able to spend time with God and know He's got your name and you have His, that new name. Promise of salvation. Truth of the matter is, I want that close relationship. When we think of encouragement, I can think of nothing more encouraging to know that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? That He will be close to us in our time of need. He will never tempt us above that which we're able to bear, but with the temptation, He'll make us a way to escape. That's a close relationship. And we can gain encouragement from the Lord. In our church, this next year, we could have great trials. We don't know the end of the matter. We don't know what's going to happen this next year. We could lose loved ones. We could lose our own life. We could leave this earthly plane. We don't know. We could find great hardship. The government could turn against all of us. It could happen. But don't worry. Remember the words of encouragement from God. That's what's more precious. Whatever this earthly world can throw at us, it's nothing compared to the close relationship to God. I know that I was in preparing for this study, I didn't put any of it in here, but I was looking at some of the discouraging moments in Spurgeon's life. We look at Charles Haddon Spurgeon, we think, wow, what a great man of God, stood solid for the Lord, right? You know, he had some great depression moments. He had some people that turned on him that were from the ministry, from within. Yet, in the end, we know that God was faithful to Spurgeon. And we know that he has been elevated as a pillar. We run to him for great sources of strength. His messages are still being published and put out there and being quoted. Praise the Lord. And all the naysayers and all the negative people, I promise you, we're not hearing anything about them. God elevated him. And I promise you, even in his time of great trial or hardship, God was with him through those ages. So tonight, what do? Well, we got to preserve our church. The church of Philippi was a great church in my estimation. If I could pick a church, I'd want to be that one. That's one of two. And I'd want to have the little strength that I have be used greatly for God. May we as a church here, may we look at our strength and we say, well, Lord, it might be little, it might be big. Who's to know? Who's to gauge? But whatever strength we have, may it be used for God in a great way. And next week we'll get into the study in Laodicea and see what God would have for us there. And the church of lukewarmness, that should be an interesting one. It's probably one that we're most familiar with. And we'll spend a little time on that. Then we'll get into some of the things. Really, we've spent about 14 weeks, on the letters of the churches. I think it was a very productive time. If we were to stop right here, right now in Revelation, we're better for it. We're going to continue on. But I'm here to say, don't let these letters slip out of our eyes, out of our hearts. These are so important, especially as we go into the church and seeing what's going to happen in the future, to remember what we're supposed to be doing today in the church of Jesus Christ. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. We'll close this off. Thank you for Facebook, folks, and for being a part. All right. And let's go to Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening and for the Word of God. I thank you for the message that we could focus in on you and really challenge our heart in this matter of being faithful to you as a church, doing right, doing what we're supposed to. That's honestly, I feel where our church is right now. Not looking at it in any prideful way, just looking at it in that spiritual mirror. I see our church is doing everything it should be. But Lord, may we use the strength we have to keep going on in the future. May we not become lukewarm. May we not become where we lose our first love. May we cherish our church, hold on to our church, keep the faith, be instant in season and out of season. Lord, help us, Lord, and it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.